Hi there from the Communications and Public Engagement team at Summit County, Utah. This is Summit in 6. Let's kick things off and get caught up.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another week of news here on Summit in 6. With County Council's general meeting being canceled this week, we're going to do a quick update on some North Summit Fire District news, and then also an extensive look at the highlights from the 2022 Utah State Legislature General Session. So we'll be taking a closer look at the legislation that was passed or wasn't passed and how that impacts and affects us here in Summit County.
So North Summit Fire District and the future of fire and EMS services for the area has certainly been a big topic of conversation over the past couple weeks. On Wednesday morning, 4 new members were appointed to serve on the North Summit Fire Service District Administrative Control Board. The new members include Chris Robinson, Roger Armstrong, Ari Ioannidis, and Don Donaldson. Their terms of service are set to expire on December 31st, 2025.
And this was part of a decision that council made to extend the North Summit Fire Administrative Control Board from 5 members to 9 members. So this will add 2 members of council to that, and council will have 2 seats going forward, which of course is our council members Chris Robinson and Roger Armstrong. And it also added 2 more members of the public onto the board as well. So again, the board is now 9 members and their terms will go through December 31st, 2025.
Up next, we have a roundup of highlights from the 2022 general session of the Utah State Legislature. The bills we are about to discuss are currently enrolled, which means that they are with the governor in their final form awaiting his action. The governor can either sign the bill, veto it, or allow it to become law without his endorsement.
So there are 4 big bills enrolled this session that have the largest impact on Summit County. Combined, these 4 bills require the county to take action on measures that address land use, moderate income housing, transit, and water. Let's get into it.
First up, we have House Bill 303, which ended up being the hot topic land use bill for the entire session. It includes provisions related to land use regulations, how cities and counties make residents aware of public hearings on amendments to a land use regulation, inclusionary zoning, boundary line agreements, enforcement of land use decisions, permits, and regulations, just to name a few.
And Summit County really fought throughout this process to keep the definition of land use decision in the bill so that it would include enforcement of land use regulations and permits. This ensures that our enforcement actions continue to have a heightened standard of review and are presumed valid. This was a key issue in the county's litigation with the town of Hideout that was involved in a hostile annexation back in Summit County in 2020.
Unfortunately, the bill prohibits inclusionary zoning in eastern Summit County and in other areas of the state outside of resort communities that don't already have a local policy in place. Inclusionary zoning is a tool to require developers to sell or rent new residential units to lower-income residents by tapping into the economic gains from rising real estate values. Summit County has existing inclusionary zoning requirement in the Snyderville Basin Development Code and pushed an amendment to the bill to grandfather in that policy. We were successful in getting that amendment adopted, so we can continue to use inclusionary zoning as a tool to create affordable housing in the basin area.
All right, up next, let's talk about Senate Bill 140. To do that, let's first take a step back to last year. In the 2021 general session, there was a bill passed that allowed cities with transit hubs to create transit and housing reinvestment zones in order to generate new tax financing to build affordable housing around transit. Summit County was able to get language in that bill that made us eligible for this tool even as a smaller transit county. housing and transit reinvestment zones, otherwise known as HTRZs, must be located near a transit hub, must dedicate a portion of developable land to development at a particular density, and a portion of the dwelling units in that development must be affordable.
Bringing it back to the present legislative session, SB 140 clarified the statute to address issues communities were experiencing in creating these HTRZs. Included in those changes was better defining developable area, applying HTRZs to bus rapid transit and light rail, reducing the dwelling unit density to collect a smaller percentage of tax increment, and requiring entities to evaluate the impacts of development on parking and the cost associated with it.
And while we're on the topic of HTRZs, I think it's a good time to mention House Bill 462. This hefty bill imposes new requirements on cities and counties to encourage the development of moderate income housing. It also includes a provision targeted only at Summit County that requires the county to create an HTRZ in Kimball Junction by December 31st, 2022, so at the end of this year.
This requirement allows residential development in an area of the county where it is not currently allowed, and at a density of 50 dwelling units per acre, which is essentially 50 homes on an area the size of a football field.
And we have the ability to reduce that density to 39 units an acre and collect a smaller percentage of tax increment, but even at 39 units, it's still pretty dense.
The reason why Summit County opposes this requirement is we strongly believe land use decisions should be made at the local level with community input and not dictated to us by the state. We need to be able to study the impacts of development on county services, traffic and mobility, water resources, and other health, safety, and welfare issues, as well as receive input from our residents.
Alrighty, let's move on to Senate Bill 110. This bill states that by December 31st, 2025, all city and county general plans will include a water use and preservation element. The element requires an evaluation of the effect of development on water demand and infrastructure, potential methods of reducing water demand for future and existing developments, and any opportunities for the county to eliminate practices or conditions that waste water in county operations.
In this evaluation, the county must also include a recommendation for water conservation policies, landscaping within a public street, and land use regulations to promote sustainable goals on water use. Water conservation and water quality are focal points of the county's environmental stewardship priorities, and many of these requirements we are already doing or developing.
And in other water news, House Bill 131 codified the Watershed Restoration Initiative. WRI is a program unique to Utah that allows public and private entities to partner to receive funding for watershed restoration and forest health projects. Summit County has received quite a bit of money for fuel reduction projects on the Upper Provo watershed and in areas in the Snyderville Basin that have resulted in healthier, more manageable forests that are more resilient to wildfire.
The bill also created a special revenue fund to provide sustained dollars for reentry projects to maintain the initial fuel reduction and restoration work that we mentioned earlier. This fund will help the county complete fuel reduction projects along the Weber River watershed, a critical water source that provides drinking and irrigation water to Summit County and downstream communities in the Wasatch Front.
Okay, up next we have House Bill 387. Summit County Clerk Eve Furse has some concerns with this bill. It requires additional poll watchers within 6 feet of an employee when they are counting ballots. Our clerk's office is just not big enough to accommodate that. It also requires clerks to make computer screens visible to all poll watchers where ballot counting takes place. The screen cannot be connected to the internet and must be hardwired to the existing computer screen. Again, this just isn't practical for our facility space.
This bill places a reporting requirement that all ballots in the clerk's possession need to be reported before the election. In Summit County and other counties, we maintain a number of extra ballots in case they get destroyed or if someone calls to register and needs a ballot. Most of these go unused every year. Ultimately, Clerk First has expressed concern that this reporting of potentially unused ballots will create distrust in our system.
Moving on to Senate Bill 49, which is the State Film Production Incentive Bill. This one's been a big one in conversation lately. It provides an incentive to motion pictures that produce films in rural Utah to help drive revenue to those areas. Rural counties include 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th class counties, which does include Summit County. This has the potential to bring big economic activity to the county, so we're pretty excited about this one.
All right, switching gears, let's talk House Bill 289. This bill creates the Volunteer Emergency Medical Service Personnel Health Insurance Program, say that 10 times fast, to help counties provide health insurance to volunteer EMTs and paramedics. Summit County and many other counties were in big support of this bill as a way to help recruit and retain emergency medical personnel. So this is also really good news.
And finally, we have Senate Bill 66, which requires a state agency or local authority to consider accommodations for people with mobility disabilities when planning and constructing trails and pathways in the future.
If you're interested in hearing more about these bills and other bills that impact Summit County, tune in next week to the County Council meeting on Wednesday for a more extensive discussion.
Thanks for joining. That's all we have for this week. We'll talk to you soon.